Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining me here today on Train Your Brain to Up Your Game with Coach Mandy. I am Coach Mandy Rosniak of Inner Winning Coaching, and again, I'm glad to have you here with me today. Just to let you know a little bit about myself, I'm here on Life Coach Radio Network on the first and third Friday each month at noon, and I will be talking to you about all the different things in regards to stuff that's beyond the skills and drills of sports, things that relate to anyone, but especially to athletes, helping them look at the aspects that can make them that peak performance player both on and off the field. But if you're not an athlete, you can still learn quite a bit from what we're going to be talking about, because I like to get into topics and things, like I said, that are beyond the skills and drills of sport that are relatable to everyone and anyone. If you would like to get in touch with me after the show, you can do so by going to my website, which is coachmandy.com. You could send me an email at mandy@coachmandy.com. That's mandy@coachmandy.com is my email. I am on Facebook, and the Facebook contact is Inner Winning Coaching. And also on Twitter, at Life Coach Mandy. I'd love to have you join me either on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. That would be fantastic. So again, thank you for joining me here today. And to tell you a little bit about the work I do, as I said, I work primarily with athletes in regards to helping them reach their peak performance and their maximum, both on and off the field. Because in being the best player you can be, it takes more than just having the skill and drill sets and being able to physically make things happen. You also have to be in touch with the mental capacity and everything that you're looking to do to get the best out of yourself. And this also translates into everything you do off the field as well. If you're having a bad day off the field and you come on and you are going to now try to perform in a game, usually it's going to show up as to what's affecting you off the field is going to show up with you on the field and vice versa. So everything's all interconnected, and that's just where I love to do the work that I do. I used to coach college softball. I was a head softball coach for 9 years in Division I, and prior to that I coached at Division II and Division III. So I've run the gamut of the level of athletics. And to be honest with you, the biggest things were it wasn't so much that sometimes a D1 athlete was just so much more superior than a D3 athlete, but it might have been just some of the intangibles in regards to maybe they had a little bit more confidence, or maybe they just faced adversity a little bit better. And sometimes, quite honestly, it just came down to decisions in relation to academics and what kids wanted to focus on. So, you know, sometimes we get caught in the trap of wanting to be a D1 athlete because that's going to validate and verify the fact that you're just a superior athlete. But let me tell you, I've worked with a lot of players through the years at all the levels, and being the best athlete you can be starts from the inner work, not just that skill and drill side, which again is what I'm here to do with the work that I do. And like I said, I like to work with the athletes so that they can, you know, ignite that inner drive, ignite that inner greatness, and help them to play fearless, focused, and free, and get them out there and being the best player they can be and being the best person they can be. So today I'm going to be talking to you about the 9 tips to begin igniting your inner greatness. And as I said, you know, these tips are going to be focused more towards the athlete. It is not primarily just athlete-focused, because the things we're going to be going through show up in our lives on a daily basis no matter what it is you do. So even though a lot of my quotes and examples are going to be athlete-based, you absolutely can apply them to your everyday life as well. And just before we get going here a little bit more, I just want to give our listeners a chance to know if they wanted to call in with a question or comment, they can do so. And the number is 646-716-9397. And this is being recorded, so if you want to listen to this again or you have someone that you'd like to share this with so they can listen to it, you will be able to do so after the show, and you can find that information on Life Coach Radio Network under the archives shows. So getting going here in regards to the 9 tips to begin igniting your greatness. you know, as an athlete, so much emphasis is put on the physical skills and talents of the player. As I've mentioned before, you know, so often people think Division I must just be a better physical player, must be more talented-wise, skill set-wise. But that's not always true, you know, which is, you know, it's understandably important. Understandably, it's important that you have those skills drilled. But you must be able to execute the physical skills required to make that shot or put down that bunt, block a spike, make a putt, you know, all those things that show up in our games. Being able to run faster, jump higher, and be stronger is without a doubt vital to an athlete's success. You know, I know when I played, I was fortunate enough to play at Division III Eastern Connecticut State University, and in my 4 years of playing there, we never finished lower than third place in the country, and we did have a national championship one of my years there. And it's funny because I used to joke that you could time me going home to first with a sun dial. And it wasn't about, again, I wasn't running as fast as some of the other people, things like that, but it was about bringing those other intangibles to the table, and that's what we're going to be talking about here today. But as I said, you know, being able to run faster, jump higher, and be stronger is without a doubt vital to your success. But what really drives all those components? You can have that physical skill, but if you don't have that inner strength, that inner drive, that those pieces that drive those components, then that's where you're going to sometimes set yourself behind in regards to what you're able to do. So I ask, what drives all those components? What lies underneath those physical talents? What can be a determining factor that can give you the edge? It's your mental makeup. It's your mindset. It's your attitude. It's your effort. It's knowing who you are, and it's having that solid foundation that can drive you to make those high-quality decisions both on and off the field. And it's about having those intangibles that separate you from everyone else. As we know, if you've been paying attention to some of the things that have been going on in the sports world, the Heisman Trophy winner this year, Jameson from Florida State, just this week got cited with an adult citation for walking out of a public supermarket with $32 worth of crab legs. We've had the also the really, really big story in regards to David Sterling from the LA Clippers with the recorded piece of him going and about some of his racist comments and things, and since then he has a lifetime ban on him in the NBA. I bring those points up because it's, again, going about the quality decisions you make on and off the field. And these are the kinds of things that happen off the field or outside of the arena that then have a great impact on that person's ability to do what it is that they're doing. And for Jameson, he also was suspended. He also played baseball for Florida State. He was suspended from the baseball team until he fulfilled his community service, which was the fine that he received for his incident. So you can see how that off-the-field decision has greatly affected what he's going to be able to do on the field. So the stuff we're going to be getting into today, again, is talking about the intangibles that separate you from everyone else and can separate you from maybe if you're that little bit less skilled player, if your physical attributes maybe aren't quite as strong as the next person, maybe some of these things we're going to go over today are going to be the things that can then separate you and actually give you the edge and put you out in front. So the first thing, and this in my opinion is where it all starts, is we're going to be looking at talking about values. And a quote from John Wooden says, sports do not build character, they reveal it. The reason why I think values are just so important is it starts with evaluating and getting very clear on your values, which becomes the foundation for all you do and all of your who. The establishing who you are comes from your values. It's like the trunk of a tree. It must be firmly established because everything else branches off from here. If you don't have that solid base, that solid foundation, then you're going to not have that firm grasp on things when certain things come up to you. So making decisions become very easy when your feet are firmly planted and you know what you stand for. This is why it's important for an athlete, because you're faced with constant decisions on and off the field. Your character is based on your values, your work ethic, the place the value you place on team and community. And it's all about your integrity, all of who you are and what you can expect from yourself. Start right from your base of your values. So again, take an athlete who is superiorly gifted, and we happen to see this a lot in the pro side. You see a lot of pro athletes who obviously are very physically gifted, have gotten themselves through the ranks and are now a pro athlete, but maybe they don't have that firm foundation of their set of core values. Maybe they don't even know what their core values are. Maybe their upbringing came from a place where a lot of things were about survival and doing whatever it was you had to do to survive, to be able to make it, you know, through to the next week. And you know, maybe they grew up in an area where they were faced with a lot of, you know, crime or gangs or things like that. So maybe values weren't really a big piece for them because it wasn't something that was firmly implanted in them. And then what happens is you start to see them making these bad decisions. You see them doing things that are then going to jeopardize all it is that they've worked for simply because they don't have that foundation. They don't have that base underneath them that helps them really differentiate between right and wrong. Or maybe they've come from a place of entitlement because they have been so gifted as an athlete. They have had so many advantages maybe that other people have, so they just come from a place of expectation and feel that, well, it doesn't matter. Their sports gifts, their physical talents have always just paved the way, so now it's also going to allow that same thing to happen. And that's where, again, I think it's just so important with, you know, getting very clear with evaluating your values, because it is that foundation for all you do. And just understanding that, as I said, those decisions become easy when you know who you are and what you stand for. So that, to me, is the very, very first piece that you have to start off with, is really getting clear, understanding your values, and making sure that everything you're doing aligns up with what you're doing and how that also relates to your sport aspect is, again, understanding the choices and decisions you're going to make. Are you going to go out and drink the night or two nights before a game, knowing that that's going to inhibit your performance the day or two later? All of those things come from that place of understanding and knowing your values. The next piece, moving on here, is about vulnerability and authenticity. I put the two together. They're very, very vital. I think they go hand in hand. When you're talking about authenticity, the aspect with that is it's about walking your talk. If you say something, then you're going to do something. If you, you know, tell a teammate to work hard and hustle, then you better be that first person working hard and hustling as well. So it's about being authentic in regards to showing up how you say you're going to be and being who you say you're going to be at all times. And where vulnerability connects to that is because when we're authentic, that's going to leave us open to times when we're going to be vulnerable. So think about it this way. When you play to win, go all in and let go of what others think of you. Now, play to win and go all in sounds like a really easy concept, but it can cause some challenges and maybe isn't always what can happen. If you're a younger player and you are maybe a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger than some of your fellow teammates, you may not feel comfortable in sort of stepping up and dominating all the time. Or you might have the flip side of you are that little bit more gifted and talented player physically, and you do just dominate all the time. And you, every time you go out there, you just always are the one who comes in first. You're always winning. And that can sort of lead you to a place of maybe it gets uncomfortable for you. Maybe it gets uncomfortable with your teammates who quite often are some of your best friends. Play to win and go all in sounds like an easy concept, but in doing that, you have to then let go of what others think of you. And a lot of times for younger players in the middle school ages, high school ages, what others think of you is very, very important. What your friends think of you is very, very important. So that's where vulnerability really comes into play here, in understanding that when you're authentic, it's going to open you up to being vulnerable. Because an athlete is vulnerable all the time. When they're on the field, you're being judged as to whether you're good or not, based on executing the play or not. But much of that vulnerability comes from a place of fear, of not wanting to make a mistake, of not wanting to look bad. When you're truly vulnerable and authentic, you let what others think of you go. You come from that stronger place of personal strength and confidence. You come from a place of knowing that no matter what you do, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay with who you are. You know you're giving your all and you have the best of you, and no matter what, you're good enough no matter what the score says. That's another really big piece here, too, is it's about letting go of the outcome. It's about knowing, it's about going back to your personal value and understanding, if I've given everything I could today, I did my absolute best, then no matter what happens is okay. No matter what the score says does not dictate my value, does not dictate how good I am. It does not dictate whether or not I'm a good player or a bad player. So this means taking off the masks and letting go of your you know, the fears that hold you back, letting out that full self. And that takes a lot of courage. So for young players, something to do, and when you talk about young players, you know, anywhere from that age range, you know, 10 and up, it's not leaving out those younger kids. But, you know, when kids really, really start to understand and get to that place where they start to see separation, when they start to understand that they play at a level, fifth, sixth grade, when maybe they start to, believe it or not, on their middle school programs, there's cuts or there's only so many kids that get taken. This is where it really, really is important to start to help them understand this stuff. Because through our being vulnerable, we develop this stronger sense of self because we become less concerned of what others think and feel about us and come from that place of consciousness and choice versus fear and have-tos. And what I mean by consciousness and choice, it means we're coming from a place of going about things with this sense of, I'm choosing to do this. I am aware of what I'm doing. I am aware of the effort I'm giving. I'm aware of the attitude I'm bringing to the field. And I think, unfortunately, at the younger ages, too often we so, again, focus on the skill and drill side of it, the physicality of everything, and we forget that these kids are developing as people. They're developing their self-esteem. They're developing their understanding of how they fall into place within the ranks of their peers. So authenticity and vulnerability, again, very, very important as a base to all of these factors that lead up to being, you know, the best player and the best person we can do. And as I'm going through these things, I've put them down in such a way that I believe they sort of build on each other. Again, starting with values, which then lead to authenticity. They all build upon each other. So as I continue to go through these, just keep that in mind, that's the piece I'm doing with this stuff. And so now you've looked at your values, you've established that piece, talked about vulnerability and authenticity, which then goes right into the aspect of confidence. If you know yourself, I've got a quote here for you, know yourself and you will win all battles. That's a Chinese proverb. Know yourself and you will win all battles. Well, once we've identified our values and we live from that place of an authentic self, that's where, when, and how we can start to develop that strong sense of confidence, because we have this stronger sense of self. We have this stronger sense of knowing it's not about the score, it's not about win or lose, it's about showing up, it's about having a base, it's about having a core belief in ourselves, because we know who we are, we believe in who we are, and we can walk the walk because we come from that place of authenticity. And it goes back to, again, thinking about those younger kids, that age group of 10 on up. They are in such a, pardon to pull it back here, but in such a vulnerable place because they are trying to discover their who. They are trying to gain the confidence. Every kid out there is going to be doing what they can to give their best. And what they're going to be looking for is approval. They're going to be looking for reactions. They're going to be looking for these things that are going to help them build their confidence. So understanding that if you can build into and help them work with or help yourself work with the aspects of my attitude and effort very much factor into building my confidence, that'll come into play, because as they do those kinds of things and understand that attitude and effort will get rewarded by continuing to improve themselves, there will be that day when they can tap back into that and pull from that aspect of maybe they're not having a great day, maybe their skill sets are, you know, they're just not making good connection with the ball. Because confidence is something that shouldn't just isn't about I'm playing well, I'm confident, I'm not playing well, I'm not confident. Confidence comes from a little bit deeper level. It comes from a place of an inner knowing that what I am doing is going to serve me, and it's going to bring about the purpose of what I'm trying to do. It's not necessarily going to bring always the results that I want, because we can't always control results. We have to look at the process. We have to look at the effort, the attitude, are we following our values? All of those kinds of things help build that confidence. Understanding that with greater confidence, we will stand taller. We present ourselves better. We'll quiet the negative self-talk, those fears and doubts that plague us when we aren't confident, because we will, again, come from a place of a greater, deeper knowing. And like I said, unfortunately, I think sometimes we get caught up in this place that confidence is there when we're playing well and it's not there when we're not playing well. Confidence really is more about having a long-term knowing that what you're doing and knowing that how you're doing it is good enough for yourself. You are confident, pardon to use the phrase there, but you are confident in your abilities to give your best and do your best. If you have confidence, you have patience, because you will give yourself the time and the space to be able to allow what you're doing to sort of play itself out. And just to throw out what confidence is in regards to defined in the dictionary, confidence is a feeling or a belief that you can do something well or succeed at something. It's also, you know, having the ability to succeed at something. So that's where, again, that deeper base comes from. It's building those little successes that you then continue to tap into. Maybe when you're struggling a little bit, you stay confident in the fact that you know that what you're doing is following the right path, and that you're doing it for the right reasons, and that you have had previous successes, and so you will continue to have success again. Now, as we're moving along here, we've looked at our values, vulnerability, authenticity, we've looked at confidence. This then leads into leadership. And to me, leadership is about stop standing on the sidelines, it's time to get in the game. Our ability to be a better leader will come as we continue to build each level. You can't have leadership or be a good leader if, again, you don't know what your core values are, you don't know what your foundation is, if you're not living from a place of authenticity, if you don't have that sense of confidence, that inner sense of knowing, you're not going to be able to have leadership ability for not only yourself, but also for others. Our ability to be a better leader will come, as we continue to build all of these different levels, because we know we have a greater awareness to know how we're showing up in the world, and we can then lead ourselves with conviction and strength because we've got that base. As I said, these things all build upon each other. You can't start with leadership and then hope you're going to know what your values are or hope that you're going to be authentic or have confidence. Those things have to be there, which then allow you to bring your leadership to and outside of yourself and bring it out. So values, vulnerability, and confidence lay the base for sound leadership. Being a leader is exploring how to turn the assets we have established and learn about how our energy affects us and affects those around us. It's about always being able to move forward in a positive manner. And a great quote by John C. Maxwell, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And that all starts with yourself. So often we talk about leadership from a standpoint of a captain, of a coach, of, you know, our political leaders. But being a leader starts with yourself first. You have to be able to lead yourself in order to be able to ever be able to lead someone else. And if you are leading yourself with a strong, positive manner, again, having that confidence, living with that, with the authenticity, your natural leadership abilities are going to come out. I had an interesting conversation with a high school student recently. We were talking about leadership. We were talking about her being a possible captain. And she said she didn't want to be a captain. She didn't want to be a team leader. And I was kind of perplexed by this, and I'm like, well, you know, why is it? Your coaches obviously saw something in you. And she said, well, you know, being a leader is about yelling at kids and telling kids what to do. And, you know, I thought it was really unfortunate that that was the perception of what being a leader was, you know, yelling at other players or really, you know, getting on them or then having to correct the things that they're doing. And so, you know, we started working on and talking and breaking down the what leadership really is and going into the fact that leadership, again, is about showing up, giving your best, you know, being the first one to do something, you know, not having the coach always having to ask you to, you know, carry the equipment, you know, all those kinds of things, never having someone tell you to work hard, all those, you know, little intangibles. So we started talking about that, but I thought it would be very interesting that the perception of what leadership was. And before I move on here, I just want to very quickly get into and tell you about our upcoming shows on the Life Coach Radio Network. We have coming up on Tuesday, May 6th at 8 p.m., New You City Chat with host Danielle Mercurio. On Tuesday, May 13th at noon, we have Fund of Fortunes Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. And on Thursday, May 15th at 2 p.m., we have Walk Your Talk with Leanne and Luke Iorio, CEO of IPEC Coaching. On our sister channel, Life Coach Chat Channel, we have Believe with Life Coach Angelique Joseph on Monday, May 5th at 9 p.m. And on our other sister station, the International Life Coach Radio Network, we have the Zenberry Life of Holistic Health Coach Emma Gallen. That'll be on Sunday, May 4th at 1 p.m. So continuing to move on here, we've looked at values, authenticity and vulnerability, confidence and leadership. And now we're shifting into focus. The key to success is to focus our conscious mind on things we desire, not things we fear. Brian Tracy. Too often, if we focus on fear, we focus on the things we don't want, that's what you're going to get. Focus and visualizations. Once we start to clear our minds of the clutter that holds us back, you know, from letting out our best, that peace that we want to be able to create, get rid of all the clutter, as I said, so you can be able to take on the task at hand, be present in the moment. Our ability to concentrate on the task, our ability to concentrate on the task at hand and what's before us will be more clear with less distraction, doubts, and fears. As you've noticed a couple times, I brought up the phrase of doubts and fears because a lot of times that is what gets in our way of us being and performing at our best. When we lose focus, our thoughts are based on past or the future. And when our thoughts are anywhere but where you are right now, anywhere but in the present moment, you're going to lose concentration. You're going to lose focus. You're going to start to have struggles and less ability to actually do what it is you want. If you're playing in a game and you've just struck out and now you have to go out on defense and you're so worried about striking out, you are going to lose focus of what you're supposed to do in the present moment. And as we've all known, we've all been there, Murphy's Law, that ball's going to find you. If you're thinking about that strikeout, I guarantee you in that inning, all of a sudden, you're going to have a ball be hit your way, ground ball, fly ball, and because your focus isn't going to be there, that's going to really inhibit your ability to make that play. And now all you potentially do is compounded the issue because you were in the past, you weren't focused on the present moment, and it catches up to you, and now you've just compounded the problem. So focus is really, really important about clearing away all the clutter, clearing away what has happened prior to, meaning in the recent prior or thinking about, you know, going long-term, going back too far. And it's about not getting too far out in the future as well. It's about staying right in the moment. In softball, I talk all the time with my players about focus on pitch by pitch, then out by out, then inning by inning. If it's the first inning, you can't be thinking about the third inning. If it's the first pitch, you can't be thinking about, oh, no, I don't want to strike out. Because I guarantee what's going to happen, you're going to end up striking out because you're more focused and you're more worried about what's going to happen in the future versus staying in the present. So that's where focus is really, really important, about staying in the moment, staying concentrated and focused on what's happening here. And as I've said, you know, we've already established your values. You're living authentically and from a place of vulnerability. You're showing up with more confidence, you've tapped into your leadership skills, and all that clears the path to be very present and attentive to the task at hand, to allow you to be very focused, very present, to be able to get the job done. And after focus, sort of leads us into overcoming adversity. There's a quote by Alex Karras, former NFL player, that says, toughness is in the soul and spirit, not in the muscles. So often, you know, learning to let go and move on to the next task, play, or situation is vital towards your success because we can't change what's happened. We can only focus on the next play, as we've just talked about in the place of focus. If something has happened to you and you are stuck in that place behind you, then it's going to affect what's going to continue to happen. We're better prepared for overcoming adversity once we've cleared that path to get to this point. We can let go when we have that strong sense of self, that sense of confidence, the leadership of ourselves. We get clarity, which comes from our ability to focus. A strong base of the other components, a looking forward mentality, will develop a let the last play go ability, which is critical towards success. Overcoming adversity, and there will be many at times, it's actually going to be something that's going to show up constantly for you, will set you up for the next situation, so you're not going to be stuck on the last. You can't undrop that ball. You can't re-swing the called third strike. But you can make the next catch. You can make the next play in the field. Yet you're going to struggle if you get stuck with what has already happened. So live looking through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. Understand that stuff is going to come up. You're going to run into things that you didn't expect, which is what we're looking at from an adversity aspect. You're going to come up against things you weren't necessarily prepared for in regards, because you don't know what's going to happen. And it's how you deal with those things that are going to help you understand whether or not you're going to be able to be successful, to be able to move forward, to be able to take care of the task that's at hand. Now we shift gears, and now we're continuing to move forward here, and we're talking at and looking at our motivation and drive. Natural ability is God-given. Work ethic, attitude, mental makeup, those can all be trained. But motivation and drive has to now be your priority because it must come from within the core. It needs space to be able to flourish. Many times we're motivated, but it's actually acting and reacting more out of fear than it's out of past positive or sincere drive. Motivation, you know, a lot of times you hear people be motivational speakers, you know, coaches need to motivate players, but motivation really, really is internally driven. You know, motivation and drive are about giving everything you have, working through the stages and process, and know you can't control the outcome. It's about trusting the process. It's about knowing that what you're doing is going to be your best, but what the outcome is, you can't control. So again, working through the stages and process and know you can't control the outcome, but that doesn't matter because it's about your effort. When you're fearless and focused, now you can play free. As I mentioned earlier, I want to help you ignite your inner greatness so you can be fearless, focused, and free. When you are fearless and focused, now you can play free. It frees you up from all those other things that are holding you back. Being able to play free intensifies the motivation because it's coming from an anabolic energy versus a catabolic energy, meaning that it's coming from an energy that is building and uplifting versus something that's going to be tearing you down and pulling at you. So true motivation is driven by inspiration, which is always, always going to lead you to success. Now, we've looked at all these different factors. We've just looked at motivation and drive, which, again, comes from that internal place. It comes from after understanding and sort of developing all these other aspects, and your motivation and drive start to then come out even in from a greater place. I certainly feel it's kind of hard to be really motivated if you're not playing with confidence. It's kind of hard to be focused. It's kind of hard to be motivated if you're not really focused on what you're doing. So there again, as you can see, how these all build upon each other with the values, vulnerability, authenticity, confidence, leadership, focus, overcoming adversity, then it allows that true motivation that you have in yourself to come out. So now we're moving into a little bit more of the concrete, which is setting intentions and goals. In order to carry a positive action, we must develop here a positive vision. a quote by the Dalai Lama. Now we've looked at all these other things. We've sort of built these inner intangibles, these inner factors. So now we can get clear on setting our intentions and goals for what we want and where we're going. We'll have a clearer vision of what's driving us and what we want, and it'll come from a place of choice, which is really, really important, because conscious choice is so important in being able to play at your peak performance, come from a place of success, because conscious choice is about being in the moment and being connected to what it is that you're doing. So once you're coming from a place of conscious choice, you have this clear vision, this is going to lead to a more sound decision and appropriate and obtainable goals. It's going to allow you to have a really good understanding of who you are, what you want, and then it's going to let you be able to set goals for yourself that you are going to be obtainable. When we set goals for ourselves, we always want to maybe put them a little bit outside of maybe our limits of what we know we can do at the present moment, because the idea is that we're going to work and push to reach something that isn't going to necessarily just be easy, because if it was easy, then it wouldn't really necessarily maybe be a goal, or it would be something that everybody could do. So we set that level maybe just a little bit outside of our comfort zone, a little bit outside of that place where we're not completely sure we can get to. But because we've got all these other factors, that we've got that base underneath us, that's going to help us continue to work towards that drive. So this will lead to more sound decisions, appropriate and obtainable goals, by being free and clear to setting those, you know, setting clear intentions, which actually helps you lead to goal completion. Goals need to be measurable, and setting clear intentions will set you down that proper course towards reaching those goals. And what I mean about the setting clear intentions are the thought and the energy behind the goal. If you just throw a goal out there and say, you know, we want to win the league championship, that's a great goal to have. But if your energy behind that goal, so your intention behind that goal and the energy behind that, if you don't really, really believe it, if you don't say it from a true sense of knowing and a true sense of wanting, then a goal is just sort of a statement. It's not going to be something that you're going to necessarily be really working towards. It's just, like I said, it's just sort of a statement. But when the intention behind the statement of that goal is sincere, is truly valued, comes from a place of, again, the anabolic energy, comes from a place of a sense of I'm going to put in the work towards reaching that goal, then that's what's so important about understanding the energy and the statements behind setting an intention towards your goal. Goals are great, but we don't always necessarily reach our goals. Sometimes we'll make a list of goals and understand sometimes what we have to do as we're moving towards that goal, we have to take a step back, and maybe we have to alter them. Maybe we've had an injury now that we're not going to be able to reach goal A, but we can shift over, we can make an alteration to our ultimate goal, and maybe is a slight, you know, we've got goal B that is going to satisfy what it is we're looking for, but it's an adjustment to the original goal based on something that's happened, which again leads back to, because we're facing adversity, now we understand that there's got to be a switch, there's got to be a shift here. So there again, that's where it's really, really important to set and have the intention be just as important, and personally I almost think most important behind setting that goal. The goal is sort of the outcome. The intention is the energy and the work that you're going to put in towards reaching that goal. And so now we've got all that going on, all that has taken place, so now it's about action. Now it's about taking action. The ideal way to win a championship is step by step, quote by Phil Jackson. So now it's time for us to take action to accomplish, be, or do whatever it is we most desire. We've set the clear path, we've cleared the road for us to travel down to continue and have sustainable success. Because we've done all these other things, we've looked at all these inner intangibles, so now it's about us taking action, creating the plan that's going to, we've stated the intention, it's going to lead us to those goals that we're working on. Taking action is the last tip, because until we've created a solid base and the stepping stone towards being, doing, and having all the success we want, taking action can be a lot of wasted time. It can be like driving to a destination with no GPS, no directions. You may be headed in the right direction, and then you may just go in circles. So at this point, you've built a roadmap towards your destination of success. And it's about creating a plan, an action plan, towards reaching those goals you've done. So as I've said, you've laid the foundation, you've laid the base, and now it's about creating that action plan. You know, when I work with athletes, we build this pyramid towards developing a fearless focus and free mindset so that they can maximize their potential. As I've laid out before you, they all can work independently of each other, but my belief is, and the way that I work with athletes, is about starting from the beginning, building the base, and then moving on down through. As I said, how are you going to be able to take action on something if you're not motivated? How can you know to take action on something if you have no confidence or if you have no personal internal leadership? So, you know, again, the nine tips I have here, the nine values or the nine aspects that I have that are so important are values, authenticity and vulnerability. Number 3 is confidence. Number 4 is leadership. 5 is focus. 6 is overcoming adversity. 7, motivation and drive. 8, setting intentions and goals. And 9, taking action and creating that action plan. And, you know, again, as I said, they're all going to bounce around. You're going to have days when you're feeling very, very vulnerable, so your confidence might not be as strong as you'd like it to be. But these are just the different things and the different values to always stay focused on, to stay looking at, to stay working on. And again, understanding, you've got to do the inner work first. You have to establish the values. You have to understand and know, am I authentic? You have to build that confidence, that inner confidence, so you can tap into it maybe when you're not playing as well. You know, which will lead you to be more of a internally driven with your leadership, which will help you be more focused and on and on and on. So, you know, these are all the different things, the 9 tips that I believe are really, really important towards helping you ignite your inner greatness, because it does start from within. It does start from you being authentic, being your true who, and allowing the gifts that you have, your physical gifts that you have, to come true to fruition. Being physically gifted is awesome. We all wish we were as physically gifted as we could be. But as we know, physical gifts are God-given. Everything else with that, which we've talked about today, are all things that you have control within yourself. They're all intangible that you can do and you can make happen because you are in full control of them. So I can't believe how quickly the time has gone here today, and I really, really want to thank you for joining me. Very quickly, just going to let you know of our upcoming shows that we have. Again, we have on Life Coach Radio Network, Tuesday, May 6th at 8 p.m., New You City Chat with host Daniel Mercurio. Tuesday, May 13th at noon is Fund of Fortunes Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. On Thursday, May 15th at 2 p.m., we have Walk Your Talk with Leanne and Luke Iorio, CEO of IPEC Coaching. And again, how you can reach me is you can go to my website, which is CoachMandy.com, at Facebook, Winning Coaching. You can follow me on Twitter at LifeCoachMandy. And my business name, again, is Inner Winning Coaching. I will be on, my next show will be Friday, May 16th at noon, and I really look forward to having you join me here on the show. And as always, looking forward to talking with you and bringing you tips and tools and all the different things that could help make you be the best person you can be, whether you're an athlete or you're someone who's just about fitness or you're just learning about how you can improve yourself on a day-to-day basis, because it's about living our best, living and playing fearless, focused, and free. So go out there this weekend, ignite your inner greatness, bring out your best, and enjoy the rest of this weekend, hopefully lovely weather. So again, thank you for joining me, and take care. I'm Mandy Rosny of Inner Winning Coaching, CoachMandy.com. Thank you.